Hey everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back.
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. It's hot. Have you seen the video? It's a TikTok video where this guy comes up and goes, "Lord, I just want to ask you to turn the oven down." That's the way I was feeling this morning.
I haven't seen that one. Donathan sent me a video. It starts off with a dude riding a motorcycle. He says, "What it feels like to ride a motorcycle in 100 degree temperature."
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Ricky Bobby rolling down the
oh, yeah,
thing. I'm on fire.
I'm on fire.
It burns.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty accurate, actually.
Because it's like, you know,
riding in a hairdryer.
Here we go.
Literally.
I think what people don't realize, and I have it someplace, but when you're riding, people are like, "Oh, it's 95 degrees. I'm going to go fast, get some wind." The faster you go, the hotter it gets.
Right, because of more, yeah.
Right? I don't think people recognize
that. Coefficient of friction. Yeah.
You know, so you could, it's better to ride 70 than 90.
Yeah.
You know, when it's super hot outside.
Well, it's not that much fun, but it's
better.
Well,
no, it's better, but it's better.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, we didn't talk about fun at all.
No. We were mentioning fun.
It's been several weeks since we've been together.
It has. It's been too
many. I've been traveling. You've been doing tons of stuff.
Yeah. And then I got sick.
That's right. That's right.
I got COVID.
Ooh. Well, was that your first time or?
Third, I think.
Yeah, I've had it at least three times.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
It's ridiculous. And the whole thing, I thought, it's hay season around here, folks,
yeah.
So they're cutting hay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was an early cut of hay, and I thought, I just got a sinus infection, you know?
Yeah.
So I was feeling pressure in my teeth, you know? I hate that. And so I suffered through church Sunday, went to work Monday morning, and I said, I got to go, you know? So I called my doctor, and he was like, "I can't get you in until, like, Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And I'm like, "I need an antibiotic now." So membership has its privileges and being able to work for Vanderbilt.
Yep.
I went to a Vanderbilt walk-in clinic in a Walgreens in Lebanon. I'm just kind of
know that one.
Yeah, I just kind of flashed my badge, and they were like, "Well, come on back."
Yeah.
She was checking my ears, and a nurse practitioner, and she said, "Yeah, I see some pressure in there, but I don't see any infection." I'm like, "No, it hurts in my teeth." So she did some other tests and everything. She said, "Well, just in case, let's test you for COVID." And I was like, "Okay." I know, whatever.
Yeah, because who gets that anymore?
Yeah, exactly. So she, you know, swabs my nostrils and everything. She goes, "Let me look in your mouth." So I opened up my mouth, and she goes, "Ooh." I said, "What?" She said, "Your tonsils are swollen." I said, "Well, I just have big tonsils." She goes, no, they look like hamburger meat.
Oh.
And I'm like, "I don't even have a sore throat." So she swabbed me for strep. I came back positive for strep and COVID.
Oh.
She said, "Go home for 5 days. Have a good week." I said, "See you later."
Yeah. You know, what's crazy about that is we were just at the mission, you know, 5 days ago.
Yeah.
It was. And the bill the guy from the mission
had COVID. Yeah. Yeah, I found that out just before we got there, actually.
Yeah.
He had COVID. And then Blake and them were taken care of.
I was like, "Oh, man." So it must, you know, it must be going around again.
Well, when I was in the clinic, she said there's an uptick right now of COVID cases.
I read somewhere in California they're going to start masking again.
Don't say that out loud.
Somebody will hear it.
And
think it's a good
know,
idea.
Yeah. Oh, Vanderbilt needs to mask again. Yeah. And then everybody's masking again.
Yeah, that's horrible. They're not going to do it here. And
that's done. Anyway, never mind.
Yeah, we could get on that one.
We can get on that one for a while.
All right, so we're going to kick back into parables, right?
Yep.
Today we're going to talk about the parable of the net.
Of the net, yep, from Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50.
So I'll read it real quick.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So this is the NIV version. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Scary.
It really is. You know, when you really think about what they're saying there.
Yeah.
You know?
So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace.
Yeah.
In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a clear, concise, and precise conclusion.
Yeah.
That there is a hell.
Absolutely.
And
right, fire into a fiery furnace.
Right. And people think, well, you know, I'm okay. I'm a good guy. No, it says the evil from the righteous, yeah, not good guys.
Yeah. So what? Here, I've struggled for years and years and years with some scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know other people do too.
Oh, sure.
So what does righteous mean?
Ooh, that's a great question. That's a great question. I've studied this. I've preached on this.
Me too, but I thought it would be a great conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Right? So let's do an off-the-cuff conversation about it. Let's don't get into deep Merriam-Webster and you know, Strong's enthusiast. You know,
I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Dictionary. So righteous to me on the off-the-cuff conversation is someone who is focused on Christ, focused on the salvation of Christ that they have so that they renew that every single day, and they walk in a way that other people see the light of Jesus in them. Yeah. Does that mean that they're going to be perfect? Absolutely not.
Okay.
Does that mean that there's going to be times where, you know, somebody can point a finger and go, I told you so? Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
But it's in the spiritual scheme of things, let's put it this way, okay? In the spiritual scheme of things, it's somebody who is actively pursuing and wanting to live a godly life.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Where I struggled or have struggled, I'm not saying I struggled today, but
yeah.
What about the guy on the cross next to Christ?
Okay, that is a great...
right?
So there's a whole lot of debate about that.
There is. And I think a lot of people have felt in the past. I know before I was a Christian, right, before I was like, this is the truth, I understand this is the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm saying it's the truth, that God says it's the truth.
Right.
Right? Right. And that I accept God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Before I was in that place, I didn't understand like what you would mean by being righteous and deathbed confession and right, like there's all the guy on the cross next to Christ, he said, you know,
yeah, today you'll be
with me in paradise.
So there's a couple of takeaways with
that. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. So I'm gonna start with takeaway number one. Number one, confession, that pardon of sin, that redemption that Jesus offered the thief on the cross next to him that day is nothing short of another miracle of Christ.
Absolutely.
Okay? Not for any other reason other than the miracle being that the thief on the cross recognized exactly who Christ was. And that's what every single miracle was designed for.
That's right, yeah.
Right? So being somebody who could recognize the spiritual healing power that Jesus had is remarkable in the fact of had he had the opportunity, other than being on a crucifixion cross, I believe wholeheartedly, 100%, that thief would have gone on to live what we know of as a righteous life.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he would have walked in his salvation.
Okay? I think that's it makes perfect sense. I think that's where people don't understand.
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
And I think there's, I guess for lack of a better term, and people are probably going to disagree with me, I think there are two types of deathbed confessions.
I think so too.
Right? One, I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know. And I have now realized that Christ is
the light of the world.
My Lord and
Savior. Yeah, exactly.
Right? That I should have been doing this my whole life.
Right.
And I repent that I haven't been doing this.
Sure.
And then there's the
other side of the coin is
I knew when I was 10.
Right.
And I chose to not follow.
Mm-hmm.
I chose to live in the world. Right. And I chose to do everything I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then out of fear, because you know you're going to hell, you're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happens to that person?
So that's a pinball wizard question.
I know it is.
So, number one, let me give the Batman answer on this. Okay. It's not my job.
It's not mine either. And that's the perfect answer.
You know, right? it's not my job to tell you that answer because I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. We're told all the way through Scripture that God sees the heart.
Absolutely.
Man doesn't see the heart.
That's right. You know, I've said in sermons before, and you've probably heard me say it, like, one thing I think Christians need to do is stop judging somebody's salvation.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Because that's all you're doing, right? If you're trying to say, there's two types of deathbed confessions, this one and this one.
Right.
Who's going to do what?
Right.
You're doing something that you're incapable of doing.
Right.
You don't have the mental capacity to even understand.
Sure.
Right.
Exactly.
What Christ has in store.
And people that do think that they have that answer, people that do think that they think their spiritual maturity level is so much higher than everybody else's.
Yeah.
So, you know, look at me.
Right.
It's pharisaical, folks.
Absolutely.
Pharisaical.
Absolutely.
And I'll just, you know. So second takeaway, this is real quick. This is going to be just a rabbit hole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Jesus tells the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise, how does that line up with the original, or let me say this, not the original Apostles' Creed, I guess the modified version of the Apostles' Creed, where it says, it states, he descended into hell and 3 days he rose again.
Show me where it says he went to hell.
Well, and that's the... That's kind of the...
I'm not saying it didn't.
I'm not saying it didn't happen either.
I'm not saying that didn't occur. That's right. The stance I've always taken on it.
Sure.
And until that glorious day I'm with Christ and I can say, hey, can you just like...
Yeah, break this down for me.
Let me know
what
was happening in those three days.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can answer it.
I don't think you can either.
Right? And I think part of it is because I've done a ton of research on it and where the Apostle Creed comes from and the time frame and you know, how the Catholic religion believes in purgatory. And you know, and I mean, hell could have been earth.
Impossible, yeah.
Right? I mean, it could have been earth. It could have been purgatory. It could have been, like, there's all these things it could have been.
Right.
You know, you'll hear people, I've heard people say, well, he absolutely descended into hell because that's where I was and he pulled me out of it.
Well, right?
No, I've heard people say that.
I get that, and I've heard people say that too.
But I'm saying in the Scripture, to me,
sure.
I don't read where it said in the Scripture that he descended into hell.
I haven't found that either.
Right, and I can't make that stretch if I can't read it.
Right, I'm with you. Right? I'm with you.
Does that mean it didn't happen?
No.
No, absolutely not, because there's a lot of stuff that I believe Christ did in his time on earth that is not in the Bible.
Sure.
Right? Because he did a lot of things.
Exactly.
And just because maybe it wasn't documented, that God didn't deem that necessary to be in the Bible.
Right.
That's how I view it. Not that, the stuff was omitted. Right? God didn't deem it necessary.
Right. It's not something that's,
right.
Yeah, I agree 100%. But anyway, back to the the parable.
Back to the parable. Right. All right. So we said what does it mean to be righteous? Right.
Right. Right.
And then what does it mean to be evil?
It has to be a 180 degree turn away from righteous.
Yeah.
Now let me qualify this just a little bit, okay? Because I think you look at. You look at a definition of evil, and to me, it is the intent to do wrong.
Yes.
It is with,
like you see some of these serial killers, right?
Right.
Like
with that. Disregard to everything else.
Yeah, pure evil.
Right.
But is that what they believe? Is that the biblical definition of evil?
Evil would be missing the mark.
Yeah.
You know, the mark of Christ and being, you know, because of sin. So it's a life of spiritually. How do I say this? a life of spiritually non-frugal living. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. I think you get people that maybe will twist the scripture and say, but I'm not evil.
Yeah. I haven't killed anybody. Yeah. I didn't rob a bank.
I'm a good person.
Yeah.
I love people. I'm not evil. And it's a hard one because I agree. They're good people.
Well, but here's the kick.
But does that mean that they're righteous?
And here's the kick, okay? Somebody says, I'm not evil. You hate your ex-spouse. That don't make me evil. Wait. Jesus says,
yeah,
you have a hate in your heart.
Yeah.
You're the same as murderer.
That's right.
What's the difference?
Oh. Someday we will have to do a podcast. I'm going to ask a question. When you look at the Ten Commandments.
Oh, I know where this question's going.
Are they all weighted the same?
Yeah, well. So that's a different podcast.
I know.
Because I want to answer that right now and go. But
I'm going to say they are. Sin is sin.
Sin is sin. Yeah. They really are.
Yeah. My sin is no different from somebody else's sin.
It's not. But when you look at the... Never mind. Anyway, we'll talk. That's a different podcast.
Like I said, okay? I prefaced with...
This is going to be a different podcast.
This is a different podcast. Yeah.
All right. So getting back to the evil thing, what is evil? I think the intent to do... I think the intent to do... I don't want to say harm, because not every... It ends up harming, though.
It's a sticky line, right? And the reason I say that is we know what righteous, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a follower of Christ. Every day I'm going to try to be better.
Right.
I'm going to fall. I'm going to sin.
Sure.
I'm going to make mistakes. I'm not perfect.
That's not a get-out-of-jail-free card, though.
It's not.
No, right.
It is absolutely not.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't mean I can go do whatever I want to do
exactly.
And be like, I'm sorry, God, right?
Right.
You know, kind of begrudgingly or half-hearted, like, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
Right? That's not what that means.
Right.
Right? But I struggle with, you know, separate the evil from the righteous because, I know a lot of people that are really decent human beings that are not out to hurt anybody,
mm-hmm.
right? But they are not followers. They are not believers. Now, maybe somewhere they believe there's a God,
mm-hmm.
right? But they're not believers. Are they evil? Because they're not righteous. I don't know.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's look at it this way. Okay, what is the mantra of this podcast?
It's love God and love people.
Okay, so if we love God enough to love people enough,
yep.
Our job is to show those that may believe somewhere there is a God the truth about how they ought to believe, not just that there is a God, but that God has a way of salvation for their eternal life. So when you say, and I know that's a curveball answer to a fastball, you know, I get that. But the thing is, when you say, I know some people are good people, you know, they give generously. They're positive thinking people. And positive thinking people and charitable people can still be evil people.
By whose definition? By God's or by the
world? God's.
By God's.
Yeah, by God's definition. Yeah.
I struggle with it. I'm just going to be honest.
I understand
you know,
that.
Because, like I said, I got friends.
But here's the thing.
I know. And I still pour into them.
Right.
I still do everything I can to be.
Well, like, absolutely.
I'm not changing who I am for them.
Sure.
Right? And I, you know, if they're struggling, I'm like, well, you know.
Exactly.
You're going to keep struggling until you recognize this.
Right. But
now, does that mean that struggle is going to go away? No. But how you're capable of dealing with that struggle
mm-hmm.
is going to go away.
Remember when we were talking about the deathbed confession?
Yeah.
And the answer was, we don't know the heart of the person.
That's right.
At the same time, we don't know the heart of that person that's a good moral person, that's a charitable person. You know, we can see outward appearances.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the TV show, The Americans. Do you remember that show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, where they were actually Russian spies.
That's right.
Hiding as American, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of the same concept.
Well, you know, I think the problem some of these people have is they're asking the same things I'm asking right now.
In what way?
What is evil?
Oh, I got you.
What is righteous?
I got you. Right? So is it a justification?
What makes you better than me?
See, and that's where...
Where does your morality come from, right?
Yeah. So that's kind of a... I look at that in a little bit different thought process of, are you asking to know the truth? Are you asking for a justification of your own actions and own thoughts?
Yeah. I think a lot of them are... Not a lot of them, but there are some that are asking to know the truth.
Sure. Right? I think there are some.
I think there are some that are asking to know the truth. And I think that's where... I think, you know, that's where people struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We've talked about how I came to Christ, right?
That right.
moment
right.
on the bedside. Mm-hmm. And that was a very emotional...
Mm-hmm.
mental, physical,
right
thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that physical thing that happened to me, that moment that I know today that that was God saying, do this.
Right.
But then, I didn't really know. But what if somebody doesn't have that experience and they're questioning?
So kind of like, what if somebody doesn't have a Damascus Road experience?
Yeah.
Yeah, I that's they're questioning what? They're questioning whether or not they're evil.
Yeah. Am I evil? Or am I like, what makes me evil compared to somebody else? Right, that dude's a mass murderer.
So I think we need to
and came to Christ in the jail cell, and he's going to heaven, but he was a mass murderer.
Mm-hmm.
I have lived my life in a different way.
Sorry, y'all.
You're okay. I have lived my life in a different way. And even before I came to Christ, I thought generally I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Right? But the guy who was a murderer that has come to Christ in jail is going to go, he's righteous. He's going to go to heaven.
Right.
But because I haven't said Christ is my Lord and Savior, I'm not.
Okay.
I think that's hard for people.
Yes, I agree.
And the reason I'm even talking about it is because of this, you know, this
evil from
net, right?
Yeah,
you know, they're casting the net and saying, you know, we're going to draw it ashore and then we're going to sort people out,
mm-hmm.
right? And somewhere in the scripture, I don't remember where. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It talks about, you know, he's going to come on a white horse.
Yes,
right. And we're going to separate people,
mm-hmm.
right? The good are going to fight with me and the bad are not.
Right.
But who decides that? I know it's God. I know Jesus decides it.
Right.
But I think people that we're trying to minister to
mm-hmm.
struggle with that concept. The difference between evil and righteousness and what makes somebody so evil and not evil.
Well, first of all,
I knew this wasn't going to be an easy topic.
And then it's fine. And I want to keep it so that we're condensing it into, you know, a manageable time frame.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, we could talk about this
all day long.
So I think we need to realize when somebody wants to know, well, am I evil? Instead of trying to give them the definition of what evil looks like,
yep.
maybe we should give them the definition of what righteous looks like.
I agree.
So that they can see, oh, wait a minute, I am missing something here. Whether it's a Damascus Road experience or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm and we give them the this is what a follower of Christ looks like. Is that you?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I agree.
If not, do you want to know more so that you can follow Christ?
There you go.
And if you don't want to know more, well then you don't want to be righteous, therefore, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters.
That's right. That's right. Right. That's right.
So you can't play both sides of the fence. You can't go over here in the world that we minister in and do these things and then Sunday morning go, I'm good, God, here we go. Here we go.
That's right. That's right.
You can't.
Right. Yeah. You know, I love that response, right? And it makes me think about we were in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Little Wolf thing in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago?
No, this was a couple years ago.
Okay.
Maybe a year ago. It might have been the trip that I had come back and got elbow surgery.
Oh, yeah?
But we're in Georgia, and we're at this Waffle House eating breakfast before we go to the church and mm-hmm. hang out with Little Wolf and everybody. And this waitress, we're all wearing our BFC cuts, and this waitress comes up, and she said, man, I know there's a God. I just struggle because I can't feel it. I can't touch it.
Oh, wow.
How do I deal with this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm on the fence because of it.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of is like, how do I know I'm righteous?
Right.
Right. What do I, you know, I didn't have a Damascus Road experience, right, like mm-hmm. some people. And I said to her, and it's the typical apologetic reply, but I said, you know, if you look at a painting, do you know that somebody painted it? You know there was a painter.
Right.
The painting didn't come from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, absolutely. I said, well, if you see a skyscraper, you know that there was an architect. Somebody architected that. Somebody right. built it. And she was like, absolutely. I said, so how can you look at creation and not recognize that there's a creator?
Mm-hmm.
And you would have thought, like, her mind exploded. She was like, oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Literally.
Bingo.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Right? There
yeah.
you go. Yeah, she's yeah. like, oh, my Lord, I didn't even, I never thought about that. I said, not everybody has to have a Damascus Road experience.
Right.
Right? Not everybody has to physically touch something or feel something.
Yeah.
Because every day you physically see creation.
Mm-hmm.
You see
you sure do.
What God has provided.
Yep.
So when we talk about this evil versus righteous, and I know I've been playing the kind of, you know, is it really evil side this whole podcast?
Yeah.
But in every day of your life, you should be able to go.
You should know, you'd be able to differentiate.
I see that there is a God.
Right. Right.
I see that there is a creator.
Right. Yep.
In every day of your life.
Everything. In everything.
In everything.
Right.
Right.
You really should.
And because at the end of the day, nothing can be formed from nothing.
True.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You don't just magically, like, here it is.
Yeah.
And so if you can't see it and recognize it, it's because you're unwilling.
Mm.
That's the only reason.
You're
unwilling.
Yeah, you've put your own blinders on.
Whatever reason.
Yeah, whatever reason.
Right? You put on your own blinders. You had
yeah.
this thing in your family that, you know, so-and-so right. died, and I was praying for him to live, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Whatever the reason is, you have chose not
but
to recognize it.
Let me never mind.
No, go ahead.
What I was going to say is a lot of times somebody that has that kind of burn—
Mm-hmm.
Like I was praying for such and such, and they died anyway.
Yeah.
Doesn't really. I'm painting a broad stroke here.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
But most of the time, those people, excuse me, don't have a deep enough understanding of God's works.
Yeah.
And scripture that backs that up.
That's right.
To be, I get people being upset. Mm. Hear me say this. I get people being upset. But when you get mad at God And I'm taking this as a specific example to paint this.
Somebody died.
Right, to paint this broad stroke, right? So a lot of times people are mad at God because God took someone out of their life through death after they've been praying for them, and they're mad at God about it, right? Don't normally have a broad enough understanding of the holiness of God and the completeness of God through his scripture, and therefore are taking selfish ambitions and putting them in front of what they should be seeing and learning.
It's interesting you say selfish, because I have asked people who have said, well, I was, you know.
Yeah.
And I've asked them, like, is that selfish of you?
Yeah. It really is.
You know? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, is it selfish of you to ask God to do that?
Mm.
And they're like, well, and they, you know, say whatever they're going to say. But,
yeah,
you know, the easy thing for me is, like, you don't know what. When you prayed, did you say, Lord, I just want you to take away their pain.
Mm.
I want you to get them through this and heal them.
Mm-hmm.
And that healing occurred in death.
Absolutely.
And they're like, I don't know. That's not what I asked for. Anyway, like, you know, we could, that's a whole.
But that's what I'm saying. To be angry in that is because of.
Yeah, because they don't know.
They don't know.
Yeah.
Now, hear me say this, folks. I don't know everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. And my flesh cries out a lot of times.
Me too.
And that's the result, you know.
As we try to finish up, there's a part of this parable that I love, and I think it's because, you know, early on in his ministry, where it talks about, you know, heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, you know, Peter in the boat,
right?
Because. Yeah. He says, come, and I'm going to make you fisher of men, right? And
mm-hmm.
and then he does this miracle where they cast the net out, and all these fish come.
153 fish, yeah.
Like just you know, when they'd been fishing all day.
All night, yeah.
All night, right? Yeah. And they haven't caught anything. He's like, throw it on the other side of the boat.
Yeah.
Right? And I just think it's interesting how when you go through Scripture, there's basically, not even basically, there is references back to other things,
mm-hmm.
right? And him saying, Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Follow me.
Yeah.
And now he's saying, look, this is just like casting a net.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling a story that they would understand.
You're right, that they would relate to.
And that's what the parables were all about.
All about.
Right? I'm going to tell you a story that will help you relate
mm-hmm.
instead of just saying, look, some people are going to hell. Some people are going to heaven. Right?
Yeah.
Which he could have said.
Could have.
But what do you... But.
Would it have had the same impact?
No, I don't think it would have.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it would.
I don't think so.
He knew what he was doing. He didn't.
Yeah. Hello. This parable, the parable in that, and the way that it ends, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm.
Why do you think that he doesn't tell about the other side of it? Like in this place, you know, and throw them in the fiery furnace. Why does he not tell where the righteous go?
Because he wants people to know that. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, that's a great question. I never thought of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think because, you know, people don't want to go to the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, I mean, fear is always a factor, right?
Fear is a powerful tool.
It is.
Right?
It is.
If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, like right? When you take it.
This is the repercussion.
Again,
this is the repercussion of your actions.
Right. Right.
And does he got to tell you that the other place is going to be wonderful?
I don't think so.
I don't either, because he's telling you, if you don't listen, it's going to be a fiery furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, now, in other places, you know, Jesus tells the apostles especially, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to get this ready for you.
Yeah.
And all along, he's telling them how to live this righteous life.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, so in order to see what this place is that Jesus is preparing for them, you got to live this righteous life.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to be down there with the weeping and gnashing of teeth.
That's right.
So.
That's been a good one.
Yes, it has. It's been a fun one.
Yeah.
It's been fun. It's a good one to come back to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So in all of this, the parables that we've done, and we've got several left to go.
Yeah, we do.
Right? And it's not saying that every single week we're going to hit a parable or not.
Because we clearly don't.
Obviously we don't. And even in some of the parables that we've hit, we've gone off on some rabbit trails. But here's the beauty of it all, and this is what I like about you and I coming together, is that the conversation that we have, is an application type of conversation that people can, I'm hoping and I'm praying that people can take away and live a life that's 1% better today than they were yesterday, to be closer to
Christ.
Absolutely. So.
Absolutely. Praise God.
Hey, everybody, it's Rick and Rob and the Nomad Pastor Con. I just blew that, didn't I? Take two. It's Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. I'll get it out. It's been a long time since I've said it, right?
I know.
And if you have questions about today's podcast or any other podcast that we've had in the past, if you have questions concerning salvation, if you have questions even about finding a local church, we'll help you do that. Send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org.
Yep.
And we'll get right back with you.
Absolutely.
Until then, always remember to love God
and love people.